You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Take one. Knock, knock.
Who dares?
We're Stephen and Dana, and we can't believe you found a fucking podcast.
A podcast.
We're so glad you're listening to it. We would never listen to it.
I don't even want to listen to it to edit it.
I don't even want to wake up in the morning.
We're Stephen and Dana, and we're in the room.
Not all heroes wear capes.
Sometimes they wear throwback crew shirts.
Steven, can you please repeat what you just said?
This is like the time where the fans can connect with us.
This is the fan time. This is just our alone, like, intimate, like, reconnect sesh. Steven, you had jury duty. And we haven't actually talked about it.
Girl, I was on a trial.
And?
It was super cool. I'm one of those people that always sort of wanted jury duty because Law and Order.
Right.
But I always thought actually having it would be terrible, and it would be at the most inconvenient time.
A time suck, a money suck. You're not getting paid? I mean, you're getting paid, but like...
A taxable $40 a day.
Oh, that's the name of this episode.
So, let's be clear.
And it was in BK?
No. It has to be in your county. You can't serve jury duty in a county that you don't live in.
Great.
So yours would
be... So mine was incorrect when I went.
You did it in Manhattan?
I did it in Brooklyn.
Ooh.
Bitch, I'm in Queens County.
Interesting.
I've got a bone to
pick. That should have got you out of it.
Well, it had to do with the mafia, so I got out of it. If you know what I mean.
Because you know Karen Mann.
Girl got connections. Broadway mafia counts.
Yes, yeah.
What do you have to supply to this conversation?
I am naturalizing for citizenship of the United States. I'm currently a green card holder, but one of the things that held me back was during jury duty. I didn't want to do jury duty. That's what it was.
So you were like, maybe I'll just
be a green
keep
card
this green
forever?
Card for a while.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. So there you go. You guys are my heroes.
It's actually really fun. I mean, this case was fun. The case...
You're already
rephrase.
Interested in the content and
yes.
the whole process and the thing.
Listen, it's a responsibility. I can talk about this pretty lightly because we were immediately a not guilty verdict.
Okay.
Just right out the gate. Temperature of the room, everyone was already not guilty.
Wow.
So it was great to really be able to talk about it from a point of interest and not a point of disagreement.
So it wasn't like 12 Angry Men type situation.
It was the most fun I've had
Fantastic.
In years.
Jury duty?
Yeah.
And how many days were you there?
What is
Four?
Your
in total? Well, the trial was 5, and I was there 2 days prior, but that was like over, there was
yeah.
a weekend in there.
That's a cool
So all
bucks.
In all, it was kind of on, okay. It was in my world for a little over a week.
That's so your brand, though. Jury duty is your brand.
Some long days, a couple of long days, but once it started to pick up speed, I mean, a courtroom is a theater. It's just,
Thank you.
It's like a
there
play. There's a bunch of exposition, and it kind of takes a minute, and sometimes it's better than others. And then by the time it starts to get interesting, you're there.
That's cool.
Because you went through all of that other shit. Now, this little show needed some cuts.
Sure. You have the audience. You have a Greek chorus.
Oh, yeah.
You have the star. I say that about church all the time. It's very theatrical.
And you have these two attorneys, one in like a men's warehouse off the rack, 3 for $2.99 special.
The public defender.
Did he like the way he looked? And did he guarantee it?
He had cufflinks that indicated to me that he thought about what he put on and was still, like, not great.
Sure.
And then there was, like, the butch lesbian pulled together in a tailor suit with a tie clip with a fierce haircut. The ADA.
What does ADA mean?
Assistant District Attorney.
Oh.
Wow, takeaway.
He knows the lingo.
Yeah. You're legit. Yeah.
This chair is squeaky. I'm so sorry, listeners.
Since
squeaky chair.
It happened. Very long story short, we were immediately not guilty, which means we were supporting the men's warehouse guy, which was kind of a bummer. We all really wanted her to have the win.
Oh,
but
no.
She was wrong, and it was her job
to fight.
Butch
lesbians can't be wrong. I know. Shocking. I'm here to say it.
But,
are you allowed to say what the case was about?
Yeah, it was a stabbing case.
Whoa.
So it was criminal.
Yeah.
It was not a civil...
Wow.
Dispute.
So someone was stabbed.
Somebody was stabbed. The question was, did the defendant do it?
Wow.
Like murder stab?
No. But like go through an artery and there were like pools of blood on the floor.
And so, they didn't see the person who did it?
No.
Wow.
And through like the photos you can get why. It was an old brownstone. Nobody maintained the building. The super died and nobody told anybody.
The glove didn't fit.
They were all squatters. So when a light bulb goes out.
They were all squatting in a brownstone.
Oh, yeah.
And that's one of them got stabbed.
Yeah.
Wow.
This is an episode of Law
yeah,
and Order.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was all so good. Wait, and were you the belle of the ball? Like,
yeah.
Were you, like, in your little group?
Yes.
Yeah.
I
really?
Was not, so I wasn't juror number one, so I didn't get, like, the under five contract.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Like, I really didn't want that part because I didn't know the end of the episode wasn't written yet. So
right.
I didn't know if I had to look somebody in the eye and say guilty or not guilty. I only want that part if it's not guilty.
That's power.
Right.
But the gal who did have that job was clearly like, I hate being in charge of group projects, but I'll do the work.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I got this.
Yeah. Nice.
So I sort of held the court.
Uh-huh.
The court
you made the salsa.
Court. Oh, yeah. I was serving tea.
Tea was served.
The jury room
was open.
With all the wood paneling on the walls and the little bathrooms where you can hear everything.
So I made the right choice being a citizen?
Yeah. Oh, no, it'll be super fun. So when you get that thing, I mean, push it if you have to because the date is actually bad. There was an alternate juror in the case. She's a talent manager, so she was going to, like, Tootsie opening night, then Beetlejuice opening night.
Oh, gosh.
All during jury duty. So she, like, had dresses with her.
Oh, man.
Because you don't know what time you're getting out.
Wow.
Jury duty in New York City.
You can be there till 5, and there's a 6:30 carpet.
Wow.
You know, what you gonna do?
Wow.
Wow. What a plug for jury duty.
Yeah.
I have one question.
I have an answer.
Was there ever a reference to Clue the whole time? Like, this guy did it in this room with the knife.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. But in the ADA's closing, so the ADA, like, started really strong. Day one, we all left. We're like, this is our bitch.
Mm.
And, like, as the trial kept going, she kept, like, losing threads to grasp at. And he just kept...
Some say straws.
I was sewing earlier.
Okay, great.
And he just kept, like... providing reasonable doubt after reasonable doubt. After
wow.
Reasonable
just good at his job. Just terrible taste.
Terrible taste and like, but also just the circumstances of the case.
Right.
Like there, nobody knows what the weapon was.
Wow.
And nobody saw it happen.
Holy crap.
But people were there, but it was dark, so nobody knew. And
damn.
I mean, we think we figured it out.
Yeah.
One of two things happened, but that's reasonable doubt.
So, that's so true. Wow.
So we went not guilty, and then they went to lunch after we, like, figured it. Because we were all not guilty, but I was like, out of respect for everyone involved, I think we should still hear what we have to say. And we're not supposed to talk about it with anybody. So it's all, like, bottled up in all of us for a week.
Mm-hmm.
So we're anxious to ask our questions.
When you said, I have jury duty, I'm going to be gone all next week, I was like, ah! He ran into my knife. He ran into my knife 10 times. He's like, that's funny, and I'm going to tell you why later. Stabbing. Did you make friends? Are you friends?
We took a group photo.
Ah!
Two or three people didn't make it. They, like, took an earlier elevator. But we took a group photo outside the courthouse.
It was a cast party.
And then three of us went for a drink.
Of course you did.
Well, it was supposed to be two of us, and then some weirdo in the group was like, oh, you guys are going for drinks. I was like,
you're so bullying.
That's usually me.
This was supposed to be me and her.
Oh, no.
But we weren't going to say that. Like, we were celebrating. We wanted to toast the defendant.
Low stakes.
The best part of it, really, though, And you're going to edit most of this down?
No.
Great.
This is the whole episode.
The best part is we all ended up waiting for the elevator at the same time. The entire courtroom except the judge and the people that stay in the courtroom to work. So we got to look the defendant in the eye. She looked at all of us and said, thank you.
Wow.
And...
Wow.
Wow.
That's like literally affecting someone's life. Wow.
I mean, you're speechless.
But, I mean... Best feeling in the world.
Yeah.
You're tearing up right now a little bit.
Yeah, like it was really good.
Well, and to like do something so meaningful and to do something that's so out of the ordinary of your normal day.
Getting to watch
week.
Somebody here not guilty after fighting this case a year and a half. Mm-hmm. Oh
crazy.
My God.
Yeah, I bet actually.
I would do that every day if I could.
Yeah. For $20 a day? Whatever.
I think you just have to watch Law and Order.
Yeah.
Every other day on USA. In the criminal justice system, sexually based offenses are considered especially heinous. In New York City, the dedicated detectives who investigate these vicious felonies are members of an elite squad known as the Special Victims Unit. These are their stories.
I ran into Mariska Hargitay like several times.
She's a fierce
bitch. Awesome. She was the speaker at my graduation.
Mariska
Hargitay.
Yeah.
Sick. She's in every single one of my dreams.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's valid. Whatever. So last week was all about me. It was my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
I assume you're done with your jury duty story.
Jury dirty. It's dirty, dirty time.
It's dirty, dirty time. So it was my birthday. Be nice. 35.
Okay.
So thank you for coming.
You're welcome. So,
how's that poncho?
Probably still there. It looked like a snack. Ponchos come in bags that look like jerky, like beef jerky snacks.
Yeah.
It's probably still there. Mm. And then also, like, friends came. It was wonderful. It was cute and chill and whatever. And then got rowdy. But then I went to go see Cher.
Fabulous.
For the first time in my entire... With Val Buchholz, the famous, the infamous, and Leanne from Easter.
And Leanne, once a year.
It was incredible. She's going to be 74 on May 20th, which is in about 2 weeks. She's wearing pasties and a G-string. She looked she looked hotter than she did in Moonstruck. Like, it's insane. And she sang, I believe, 75 to 80%. Live, and she sounds great. She can, like, you don't think of Cher having a range. Mm. She was, like, she was getting up there, like, belting it. Oh, my God.
Did you see the video of Bette dancing in the audience?
I did.
Amazing.
I love when there was a video of Bette Midler dancing to Cher, walking in Memphis, and she's just delightful. She's so chill and so real.
That's a huge... Have you seen
Cher
before?
She doesn't take herself seriously at all. And that is a queen. That's a queen.
Aside from, like, her brief appearance at the Cher show, have you seen her...
No.
No.
Nope. That was my first time.
Wow.
Yeah.
How spat.
And she delived. She delived.
Speaking of delivering... ladies and gentlemen, delivering discount codes to your inbox.
Yes! Well done!
On the regular.
Steven, you bitch.
I thought you were going to talk about my PhD in delivering babies.
What? I don't know about your PhD in delivering babies.
I don't know you at all.
But just because I don't have one. No, I don't have one.
Oh, that would have been a great thing to teach us in under a minute.
Yeah. I kind of blew up your segue right there, didn't I?
No, that was great. Yeah. We love blowing things up.
Yeah.
You especially.
I thought you were talking about the Cher show until I remembered that I saw on your Instagram that drop of
the curtain.
The curtain looks amazing.
I've seen Cher like twice in the last 2 weeks.
We saw Elton together.
Yeah.
Wait, amazing. You haven't said your names yet.
Oh, sorry, yes. I'm Sam Clark.
And I'm Jackson Thompson.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we're Broadway crew.
And we are.
Yay!
We are
finally.
Broadway crew.
We love Broadway crew.
And we are so blessed to have you guys like be a sponsor partnership.
Yeah,
whatever.
Thank you for believing in us.
We're kicking with you guys.
That's
and it's been
do.
So cool.
Yeah.
We loved it.
We randomly ran it. We have a random friend in common. I believe another person on this podcast, Andrew Hollenbeck.
Yes, 2 episodes ago.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for that
check it out. I saw it.
You're also our second Australian.
What?
Third!
What?
There can
third.
Be only one.
You're a third.
There's three Australians?
Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
Just go down to Williamsburg.
Oh, is it Perth? Perth?
I'm from Brisbane.
Brisbane.
Mm-hmm.
Well.
The opposite coast.
Talk
I see you drag. Confused. Who have you had?
Tyson Armstrong of Broadway Pins.
Mm-hmm.
Carmel Dean of Broadway Royalty, composition, musical director, genius,
slash Renaissance being released May 24th for download.
Wow.
Original
yes.
off Broadway cast.
Sweet.
So many plugs up top.
I love it. Let's just keep plugging.
And then also, you know,
and
Broadway Crew.
Yeah.
www.broadwaycrew.com at Broadway Crew on Instagram.
At B-Way Crew on Twitter, because we couldn't get Broadway Crew because someone else has it.
Or, yeah, someone in Norway.
Yeah, and they haven't tweeted in like 8 years.
Isn't that the worst?
Oh, yeah. What
but you want to be B-Way Crew.
Kind of. But like,
it's less characters. So for Twitter, it has a less character
that's
impact.
True.
It feels like my dad would have done Broadway Crew.
Yeah.
No, you need B-Way Crew. You're in a WeWork.
That's true.
It's a B-Way Crew.
Yes. That's true. It is a B-Way Crew.
This office is the coolest office I've ever been
it's
in.
It's pretty
I'm
cool.
drinking a beer because it was free and it was in the kitchen.
Yeah, that's right.
But they've got their own taps.
Hashtag millennials.
Tell us what Broadway Crew does. We do it very poorly on our podcast. What do you do and why are we here?
I think Jackson's the marketing guy. He can take it away.
Okay. Well, no pressure there. Broadway Crew is entering the end of its first year. So we are a nascent marketing and promotions company for Broadway, off-Broadway, and beyond, as we like to say. We work in promotions for live events. We have an excellent staff of probably about 35 people now.
Wow.
Yeah, it's big.
So
that means if they ever get jury duty, you have to pay their $40 a day.
Well,
is that true?
Is that really what happens?
Oh, man.
See more takeaway.
I do the finances.
Any?
Sam Googles USCIS. essentially, like, that's a very nice way. Like, essentially, we're like the boots on the ground for like live events, Broadway, off-Broadway, and beyond. That's
kind of
our thing.
We will promote your show.
Yeah, so our kind of mission statement, as you guys do so eloquently in your effort, we're trying to elevate the art of it, right? So it gets a pretty bad rap. People stand there with flyers and
what gets a bad rap?
Like, people stand there having flyers, like, they look alone, they're like, they don't feel like they're supported.
So being a street team.
Yeah.
Is essentially.
Yeah.
So we promote at TKTS,
mm-hmm.
we hand out flyers in Times Square, among other things.
Yeah.
So.
And so, like, what we're trying to do.
That's really good for tourists. I mean, locals are, they kind of know where to go, but New York City, especially Times Square, people don't know how to, like, go elsewhere other than Times
Absolutely.
Square. And so they need people, like, in their face saying, can I help you? These are the shows that we represent.
Well, this is the thing, right? So, like, literally, day by day, we're literally the face of the brand of these shows. And so if you don't have the best team, like, you're literally, so you might be spending millions of dollars at the top end. At the bottom end, we're, like, one-on-one with your client. And we try and really emphasize our engagement.
Yeah, so think of it like this. So if you want to buy a computer, you'll go to the Apple Store or whatever. You just have your computer
Former employee of the Apple Store.
Oh, right.
You guys, double check your Apple Care.
I thought you were a genius.
So you go to the Apple Store and then you look at all these different computers and you look at, you know, mice and, I don't know, bands for your iWatch or whatever, right? Broadway doesn't have that.
Yeah.
If you want a Broadway show, where do you go? You got to figure out what show you want, then you go to the box office or you go online or whatever.
Mm.
So what we do and what we kind of think of ourselves as is the only frontline sales staff of Broadway.
Yeah.
Because we're literally talking to people, helping them find a show, find what they want to see. And we're giving them choices. And like international tourists, domestic tourists, even local New Yorkers, 9 times out of 10, people kind of show up at TKTS and they don't really know what they want.
Yeah.
So we're there to help. We have clients that we promote specifically, but our goal has always been to match the person with the show.
Yeah.
And that kind of sounds like company speak, like jargon marketing, chief marketing officer talk. That's me. It's on my card. But it's real, you know, because we want people to have a great experience. And we were very fortunate to have some awesome clients that we
and staff.
Recommend. And that's the other thing.
Yeah.
Sam and I both are former actors. We're used to working catering jobs, hourly jobs.
I'm high-fiving you on all of those things.
Boom, boom, right?
Same.
We've all been there. We've all worked jobs where we don't feel important. We don't feel empowered. We're just warm bodies. So we really wanted to make a company where people felt like they were part of the fabric of the company, where they were excited to come to work. The job itself might not be exactly what they want to do, but it's still in the industry.
It's tied to it.
Right? Mm-hmm. They make a decent living wage, which is important. And I'll tell you what, the only reason that we're able to grow is by empowering our employees and finding these skills that they already have. And we're like, oh my gosh, let's put you in this department. Let's use this.
Right.
Let's get feedback. We even have a brainstorming session where people give us their ideas about where they want to see the company going. So that kind of engagement with our staff, too, is super important.
Yeah.
And it's created a company that I'm extremely proud of.
Yeah.
Do you accept applications? Are there more freelance positions?
Oh, absolutely.
Are they like, hey, I'm looking for 2 hours a week. Is this a place I can apply? Like,
yeah.
I don't even know.
No, totally. I mean, look, we're always looking for new ways to do things, new ways to engage in the community. So you can email join@broadwaycrew.com.
Mm-hmm.
And just whatever, if you have skills you think might be a join up with us, like as Jackson was saying before, you go to our website, broadwaycrew.com, or our Instagram, whatever, you'll kind of get a good idea about what we do. But we also have like a nascent kind of design department. We work with a bunch of other clients. And this is something that I think, because I mean, look, I come from being an actor and a freelancer in every way, shape and form. Mm-hmm. What I didn't understand about B2B, which is what we are, business to business, is like essentially what we do is you come to us as a business, you have a problem, and we try and solve that problem. So we thought that the majority of our work would be in one field, but it ends up being over here. And so the exciting thing for us is like, oh, Sam, Jackson, I have this problem. Like, what do you think? We're like, well, we would do this, ? And like, so we have a thing we're activating later this week, which was literally like, they came to us and they're like, hey, we have a show in New Jersey. It's a big show, a really big show. How do we get audiences there? How do we make like an affordable, how do we get affordable reach? And we were like, we would do this. And then they were like, all right, let's try that out. And like those kind of things are, it's really rewarding, I reckon. So anyway, if you have anything, any skills you think might like help us, or you want to be part of the team, absolutely email us. That'd be great.
Yeah,
or a show.
Or a show. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
What kind of shows are you looking for?
Yeah. So
anything, I think, essentially, really.
Yeah. So we've really determined that we have shows from big Broadway clients all the way down to little off Broadway shows.
Yeah.
And so we really have a range of services that can serve both needs.
Mm-hmm.
We can tailor the prices and the costs down to support these off Broadway shows that often can't afford big marketing companies, can't afford these big marketing initiatives.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how we see ourselves, as like this grassroots marketing company or marketing initiative. And then we have services that are vital to the bottom line of Broadway. We actually, for one of our clients, we were moving like,
that's crazy,
like
that's
six figures worth of tickets through Ticket TS.
Yeah
weekly.
It's insane.
Oh, whoa.
It's not so, it's crazy. It's like 20, I think. So it was like, you know, some weeks it'd be upwards. So Ticket TS does on average about 12% of all Broadway ticket sales. And we were moving 20-25% of their
sales.
Wow.
Is that nuts?
And so that's not small, right?
Yeah,
so and if a show is floating right around that that line where you know the theater is like, I don't know if you're gonna make it, you gotta be above this line. I forget what the professional term is.
Yeah.
But if they're right around there, they can call on us and that can really help like keep you afloat.
Yeah.
Keep you floating through Tony season or through the holiday season or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just that little extra nudge, you know?
Yeah.
And then for our off Broadway or our off Broadway clients, the saying is that word of mouth is like the number one way for people to learn about shows and
really
go to theater.
It really is. It really is.
Yeah.
Personal recommendation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So if you hear someone tell you this show's awesome, you're much more likely to go see that show than just seeing a billboard or just seeing an ad online or whatever.
And
that's what we do.
Yeah. And then the off-Broadway, you know, like, so, you know, like the amount of tickets that we would sell for an off-Broadway show is small in comparison to the bigger Broadway shows, but in the life and the budget of an off-Broadway show, you know, like we sometimes move, like again, like 20-25% of their inventory.
It makes a huge difference.
Makes a big difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. And then we also have all these other services. Like one of our clients is The Imbible, which is a really fun show.
We love The Imbible.
So Imbible's literally it's in the bar of New World Stages.
Sold.
And it's essentially a bartender telling you the history of alcohol.
You get three free drinks.
So it's a fun show. And what we've done for them is we've been able to target, like, drinking festivals, like beer fest, whiskey fest, food festivals, and we show up there and the
theater and drinking.
It's the perfect target audience.
Synergy.
And that's been an amazingly affordable way to get the word out about them and helpful. We do flyer drops to local businesses that make sense. We have a hotel concierge outreach program where we go around to all these hotels in the city and pitch the shows. So we just try to
just show them a little shoulder.
Literally. Mm-hmm.
Oh, we've got the perfect person in place.
She's great.
Oh,
but it's more about just that engagement.
Yeah.
It's
good.
Yeah.
Talking to people.
It's a very personable group of folks, I can tell. So if people are looking for tickets from Broadway crew especially, where do I go? Do I go to Times Square and look for your t-shirts?
You know,
go to the front seat?
So, you know, I don't know.
We're going to edit that out.
Cut. I don't go that high if you're not paying me.
Defying gravity. TKTS, you'll find us every day, basically. They'll be out there and their things. But, you know, like, you never know. We did a huge, one of our first big gigs last year was Comic-Con. And we had, so cool. We had, like, 6 people there with for Puffs. And it was just, like, a shit show. Like, 250,000 people going in and out. We gave out, like, 20,000 flyers over 4 days. Isn't that insane?
Yeah.
Like, awesome. Go. And then Puffs were the ones that actually put us onto that, which is one of our clients. They're actually one of our best...
Love Puffs.
Love
if you're a Potter fan, you like the Potter world, go check
Puffs.
Out Puffs.
But we did the thing. And 20,000 flyers, 4 days. So you might be at Comic-Con, and you'll see us there. Like, or
you better be at Broadway Con.
We were there last year.
Okay,
we were working for... Puffs at Broadway Con at a booth. They have a new show coming too.
The Marvelous Revengers.
No, the Magnificent Revengers.
Oh, Magnificent Revengers.
Yeah.
Not currently rep by Broadway crew, but hopefully in the future.
Get into Tilted it. Windmills is awesome. And we're all over the place, but mainly at TKTS you'll find us.
Yeah, and if you see us in the wild, often we have coupons and stuff to our shows. We've got some great discounts to some of our clients.
Should we tease out the... We have a little...
You know, we're just going to, like, dangle that Snickers at the end of our little stick here.
Ooh, I love to fish.
Oh, we're going to dangle something in front of our listeners here.
And then we're going to reel it in slow.
Ooh. We're going to start nice and rough.
Oh, God.
We have...
We have to drive in the city.
It's getting hot in here.
It's good. I'm melting.
We got a few ticks. Tickets to give you.
Oh.
Got a couple tickets to Puffs and Kong.
Yeah.
Also gonna get some off-Broadway in ya. We're gonna do the original sound. Oh, thank you, the Broadway crew.
I
don't know.
I was just getting into it.
We were not musical theater performers, so I do love some karaoke, but I'm not very good at.
We actually lack most talent. We don't have much talent.
No, we don't.
But here,
here's the thing I was telling you before. We went and saw Original Sound the other day, and both Jackson and I left the theater, and we were like, the lead actor in that is way better than us. Thank God we left the industry.
We can never be that good.
We want people to see this, and that is what we do. So wait, we have a free tickets. We're going to do a social media blast. Follow us, as you probably do if you're listening to this. Also follow at B-Way Crew.
At Broadway Crew on Instagram.
B-Way Crew's Twitter.
It's Broadway Crew.
Do you want to show the shirt?
It's on the back of my shirt.
Follow at Broadway Crew on Instagram.
On the Insta. Instas.
And on Twitter, it's
B-Way Crew.
B-Way Crew.
Or the FB is B-Way Crew, too.
We will be doing a super fancy, super fun little raffle.
Details to come.
Details to come. And we're going to give you some free tickets.
I'm super excited to, connect.
Yeah.
We literally don't know who listens, but we know you listen, because we got the stats.
Yeah. And we'll give you free stuff to tell us about.
Free stuff.
Steven's Coupon Corner. Listen to the podcast. Follow the directions. You will be rewarded.
So these are 2 off-Broadway.
Yes, see.
And then a Broadway.
The King Kong.
The King Kong, a Puffs, and an Original Sound with... Mm-hmm. Listen, we've got Anthony Arkin, which is... Alan Arkin's son.
Yeah.
So I can only imagine the talent coming.
It's also down
of...
in the west, in the west, the village, the West Village.
The village.
It's at Cherry Lane, which is a beautiful space.
The village.
Beautiful restaurants around there. It's just a wonderful night out.
That is a historical.
The first show I ever
worked
on in New York was at the Cherry Lane.
No way.
Look at that. You know, Labyrinth is now their housed at Cherry Lane. That's where they operate out of.
It's all coming full circle here.
Come on now.
You know what I mean?
Come on now.
Come right around and here we
From
are.
From Fringe Fest to Broadway.
Do you hear those bubbles, Stephen?
Oh, I hear them.
How sweet it is. So crisp. From the makers of White Girl Rosé and Babe Rosé comes the hilariously delicious Pink Party Rosé with Bubbles. The misfits over at Swish Beverages, which includes Instagram comedian The Fat Jew, have made us all lose our shit over their newest rosé.
Pink Party Rosé is sponsoring In the Room with Stephen and Dana because, well, if there's not a two-drink minimum, are you really in a room?
With notes of honeydew and cantaloupe, this very pink blend of Sauvignon Blanc and Zinfandel is actually pretty good.
It is what I'm drinking all summer. It is a sparkling rosé, gives you all of those bubbles, and is so refreshing for an outdoor summer treat.
Is it what I'm drinking right now, Stephen?
Why? I can tell by its pink hue that it is.
This bottle does not have a face for podcasting. It has a face for Instagram. So buy it, drink it, pose your face off with it, lip sync for your life with it, and tag it at We Brought Wine.
That was like Rosé Bop It. I don't think it's asking too much. It's a very reasonable price point. It is delicious.
It's a very large bottle. I feel like it's bigger than most rosé bottles.
Oh, interesting.
It is a girthy bottom. Yeah, I said it.
There is some quality literature on the label. They know their audience, and they are appealing to you every step of the way. Dana, when do you drink rosé?
All the time.
I think you're supposed to say all day.
Ask me again.
Dana, when do you drink rosé?
All day!
Make every gathering a soiree with Pink Party Rosé. Cheers.
Cheers.
Pink Party.
Pink Party.
Pink Party!
With bubbles.
Avec Bublé.
It's a pink party, baby!
I drink rosé all day, bitch.
Rosé all day.
Rosé, then slay. Rosé, and then I slay. Hey!
Bring me my rosé.
Rosé all day.
That's chicken frying in the background.
Pink party!
I wasn't gay until I had a sip of rosé and then everything changed.
Drunken? Drank. Drunk?
Oh, rosé.
Oh, my fried chicken is ready. Hold on.
You're never gonna make it in this town with a voice like that. Might as well drink up, honey.
So we started this crazy endeavor last year, right?
I can't even believe it's
insane.
Only a year old.
I know, it's not so. And
we're finally learning what a budget is.
Yeah, that's right. We finally looked at how to pay people. No. The crazy thing was we had many times in the last 12 months where we'll look at each other, because we live together too. Did we tell you this?
No.
Yeah, we live together and work together and then hang out together.
We're non-monogamous life partners.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Yeah.
Okay.
So, It's very tight, but many times we'd like look at each other and be like,
"He's talking about the business."
If we don't, at okay, that point. All right, let's keep it PG. All right. This is for the kids.
It's after six at WeWork.
Our audience is 12-year-olds.
Anything can happen. We look at each other and go like, "If we don't get this contract, man, it's over." The music stops, and it's just so dramatic. It's so fucking stupid.
And we literally had that conversation in our kitchen, and then that day, we got a client say, "Hey, we'd like your services." Blah, blah, blah. And we're like doing Hail Marys.
Well, that was and that was second stage. It's their 40th anniversary
tonight
as we record.
Fantastic! Yeah. I love second stage.
They're
me
so
too.
Good, and they're so nice. They're lovely. They produce great theater.
Mm-hmm.
They have the Helen Hayes now, and it's just awesome.
Which is actually the smallest theater on Broadway.
Yeah. Correct.
That's feels like it.
It does.
Intimate.
It's great, man. I remember I saw Rock of Ages there in 2000.
That Rock of Ages
Whoa.
Was there?
Yeah. 2000. Wow. And then I was speaking with a company manager at the Helen Hayes, and he said he found a fossilized jelly shot underneath one of the theaters and then seats from the show.
Yeah. The enthusiasm with which you told that story melts my heart.
I was up there handing out flies. What are we?
Fossilized jelly shot. Yeah,
I was last there to see Torch Song, which I really, really loved.
We missed Torch Song. Yeah, I heard it was great. Got a short run. That sucks. Mm-hmm. We worked for Straight White Men, which was very good too.
Same.
Oh, zing.
Was that a joke?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it was good. It was funny. That was a cool show. It was like a comment on that. You know, it transferred from downtown up there. It was really cool.
Yeah, so, I mean, what's really cool about this job is we get to work in theater. We get to see a ton of shows. We get to work with really cool people.
The cool thing is, like, as I was saying before, like, we're literally talking to their audiences, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So we do have, like, real value. And if... And I mean, I just, any producers or whatever, your marketers just listening to this, I implore you to pay attention to whoever your street team is, because there's many, many good street teams in the space. Their feedback is really valuable. It's really just, if you ask the right questions, you can get really, really, really valuable feedback, because they will, because, you know, sometimes I think if you're part of this massive machine, that is, you know, you're thinking of a million other things at once and on this really high level. You sometimes lose the detail.
So when you boil it down to its very essence, like a marketing department or an advertising department is all about trying to understand why people buy the things they buy and why they do the things they do. And there's a lot, basically Broadway relies really heavily on internet surveys and funneling people from the ticket purchase into like surveys after that. And then following up with emails and questions after you see the show.
Yeah.
And that's really, really heavily what they rely on. But the interesting thing about that is you're going to get a certain kind of person that will respond to that. Certain kind of people don't. You're going to get certain kind of opinions from that. And you have to take it all with a grain of salt. Mm-hmm. So one thing that we're able to provide is another facet of that. Another side of the purchasing decision. Because we're talking to people out there.
Yeah. Because if you think about it, if it's like a subsect. So the numbers go like this, right? So 12% of people go through TKTS. I think of all tickets sold, it's like something like, I get the numbers wrong, but I think it's 25% plus are same day tickets, right? But no one really, it's crazy, right?
Wow.
You can go to the Broadway League does a report every year. It's really interesting.
Report.
The demographic report is so fascinating. And I might be wrong. It might be 40.
The briefing also does like a miniature version of it, kind of at the bottom of every email. And then I guess if you upgrade to like Briefing Pro, you get deeper insights.
Which we did. Into that. We're Briefing Pros.
Yeah,
well, this is your freaking business,
profesh.
Man.
Yeah.
We didn't even know it existed until Scott Frost put us on it.
Past guest.
Love the briefing. I never delete a briefing.
Yeah, it's so good, right?
Oh, it's...
We really want to...
We don't work with them in an official capacity in any way, but I cannot endorse Broadway Briefing enough.
Same.
Reach out to us, Broadway Briefing. It's the way the industry gets its news.
Fantastic.
Reach out to us, Broadway Briefing, because we'd like to be debriefed.
We'd like to debrief. Broadway.
Yeah, so I think they... I think 25% is same-day tickets. So we have this little subsect of that we can kind of mine for information about, like, why do you buy this? Well, like, you have an idea, but it's like, oh, the reason they picked, you know, X show over Y show was because of the 1, 2, 3 we did, but your advertising is forced into this 4, 5, 6, so you should move it over to the 1, 2, 3. Or your advertising is the 1, 2, 3, and it's working, so we're just confirming that, you know?
Right.
And so everything kind of revolves around sales in this world. Like, if you want to get promoted in your company, you better be bringing money into the company, and sales is the only way to do that, right? So talk about a sales boot camp for our employees.
Mm.
They're out there learning how to sell a show in 18 different ways every freaking day. Mm.
They're pretty talented.
And if they have their own show, their own side gig,
absolutely,
they know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like mutually beneficial for a person who is also working in theater.
I mean, that was like the goal, right?
Yeah.
So should we do like a bit of like a like or like where this came from? Should we do like a...
I would
those
love
were
going
to be my questions, kind of. We were on a roll, so I didn't want to like interrupt, but I was gonna.
Okay, so part really the mission of this company is to create a parallel career path for artists and actory types or people that have something else that they're
writers, directors, anyone that wants to be part of the industry but hasn't quite.
But honestly, it doesn't have to be Broadway or whatever. Just anyone who wants a parallel career path in their life that doesn't suck and doesn't like make them want to crawl under a rock and die. That was the thing, because we worked so many jobs where again, and back to what Jackson said before, where you didn't feel heard or valued, and so that was kind of our thing. So we're trying to create that under some pros and cons of things.
So we're just moving into this new office. WeWork is great. We love WeWork, but we found this awesome office, and we're actually going to have like a staff lounge.
Yeah,
with like Mario Kart. Maybe. We're going to have beer in the fridge.
Yeah. Great.
We're pretty stoked, and it's right above this awesome bar. Hurley's.
Oh, God, Jackson.
We love Hurley's.
We're familiar.
So no, we love Hurley's.
That's where my Australian caramel friend had her birthday 1 year.
I've been to many of that third floor.
Yeah,
they've got a great event space.
Yeah, that third floor. We didn't know it existed. It's right. It's a floor below us now.
Mm-hmm.
Starting June 1st.
They have that little backyard pad.
So cool.
Yeah.
Love that. Nice.
www.hurleys.com.
Is that it?
Will you invite us over when it's all like when you're settled?
Absolute.
Like housewarming.
Yeah. So we've been here for 12 months and it's awesome. We moved in here at a great time. Blah blah blah. Whatever. Our operations.
The staff
are
is great. We've actually made our first client. Like we met our first client here.
Yeah, we did too. But you know, we've outgrown the thing here, but so we're gonna like, we found this crazy amazing space. We're gonna like renovate it, make it like real trendy.
Can we talk about renovations real quick?
Yes.
Okay, I don't know what color to paint the space.
Send me swatches.
Okay. When we first started, we did everything we could to make connects with the industry, right? So we were on like LinkedIn messaging people.
Yeah, that was my question. I was like, hey, obviously you had to network a ton a year ago.
Yeah.
What on earth does that look like?
God, we didn't know. We had no idea.
Yeah, we didn't know.
We just were like Google searching people. Like we didn't even know. Honestly, we didn't even know who would buy our services.
No.
We didn't know whether to talk to marketing companies, to talk to the show itself, to talk to producers, directors. We had no idea. Mm.
And you started this company before you had a bite?
Oh, yeah.
So it was a huge risk.
So, this is how it went down, right? So I worked... Let's go back in time.
Oh, hello, I'm Sam of 6 years ago.
He was a hobbit.
We're going to shine your shoes, Governor.
I don't know. Oh, he was also British.
I'm just gonna let it happen.
I'm a chimney sweep back then. No, so I moved here in 2012, and my first job was working for an off-Broadway show, a couple of off-Broadway shows, The Fantastics. Closed.
Try to remember.
Yeah, that time in December.
I thought it was September.
Maybe they changed it. And whatever. The whatever it was, I worked for it for many years, but it taught me to cut my teeth.
Ouch.
Yeah. It cut my teeth on how important TKTS is, because the producer runs a very tight ship. That was like their only major real marketing spend. And so I worked for them for 3 years, which was amazing, and it taught me a lot. Then I bounced around like all these other shows. I worked for like Something Rotten. I worked for, you know, Kinky Boots, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of shows. Like, I've seen so much freaking Broadway, like it's in like the dim recesses of my mind, and I'll go on like autopilot and talk about like the second cast of, you know, blah blah blah. But then at the start of this year, I wasn't very happy. But that was not to do with the job; it was more to do just where I was in life.
Yeah, living with me.
Yeah, it was living with Jackson. No, it was just also like I'd reached a point where I was like unhappy with my career as an actor and whatever. So then I went to this holiday party, and I was always speaking to my friends at TKTS about like, I reckon I could do this. And then they're like, yeah, whatever, Sam, you never, whatever. And then I went to this holiday party with this company that I loved working for, and they were like, and I was like, I was looking around like, why do people work for this company? They're not the best paying, like they're not the most organized, but like, why do people work for this? Why do I want to work for this company? I'll take a pay cut to work for this company.
And how are they successful?
Well, not even that far. I was literally like, why do people want to work for this? And I was like, you know why? It's because they feel heard, you feel like you're part of something, and you feel like you're valued. and you feel so you feel those things, and you'll do pretty much anything. I literally got drunk off my face, got up the next morning, was like, I'm doing this. And then I just got obsessed. And I was working at this Mattel toy fair, which is a previous life of mine, in this room alone with like one Aquaman toy.
but not even setting
that.
The stage.
I know, but I mean, it was on NDA at the time. So like the only people that come in was like three people over 5 days. So I was like in a room, I was working out, I was just like there sweating up, and I was like, I'm gonna run.
You're doing push-ups.
Right, some push-ups.
Just running in place.
Working out with Aquaman.
I watched Star Wars twice, but then in between all that,
in my spare time,
I wrote a business plan. So I literally just went, oh, this is the way it's gonna work. Business plan. And at the same time, I live with Jack. He's like, oh, business partner, man. I was like, nah, not hard, no. You live with me. You don't have any experience in the industry. No.
He's right here.
And what were you doing at that same time? Just timeline.
Yeah, so I was busy being a really successful actor.
Right.
Yeah, I was working regionally.
Are you working at the same toy fair?
I was at toy fair too.
But he was working for WWE.
I was the WWE guy.
When you got something good.
Toy fair is the... What is the expression? It's like the milk of...
No, it's like mana from heaven.
That's it. It gives you... It pays well, and it's a silly job, but it's like this random gig.
And the people are lovely. And it's a really good gig, actually.
Yeah. So I was working at Toy Fair, too.
Okay.
Yeah. And living together. And then eventually, you know, he bugged me enough, and I was like, actually, it might be good to get an outside eye. And then we incorporated in March last year.
I was also extremely qualified. We didn't mention that.
Okay. no, he is. He was.
I really cut my teeth at Toy Fair.
Yeah.
Same.
All your teeth have been cut.
Yep. We got very cut teeth.
Very sharp. And then March last year, we wrote the business plan, we incorporated, and then we just, for like 3 months, the New York State has, actually, unemployment has this amazing program.
www.nyc.org.
They will literally pay you to start your own business to get you off unemployment. So we like signed up for that.
So can I actually prop this? Because this is one of the things.
Money.
This is one of the things that really helped us start, and it's an amazing program. There really is a lot of support there from New York.
What's it called again?
It's called the SEAP program, the Self-Employment Assistance Program. It's very similar to unemployment, but the money that you make from your business does not affect the money that you get from SEAP.
And you don't have to look for work either.
Yeah. So they help. They really help. So it was like getting a $20,000 loan from
essentially
or grant.
Yeah. So it's like $400 a week or something.
And that, in conjunction with the SCORE mentors, there's this free business mentorship program by like real tycoons in the business. One of my mentors used to work for Stouffer's as the head of marketing for Stouffer's.
Nothing comes closer to home.
He made that.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Mind blown.
Next guest.
Yeah.
And I've got his email.
Yeah, Tim. But yeah, so we had that, and we had this, and then we did everything. Oh yeah, and then we just signed a lease, a year lease on the space, because we were like, we need a space, let's just do it. Whatever. I remember the phone call distinctly. I went to the WeWork offices, and they were like, well, we have this one desk, because one desk is pretty hard to get here. And they're like, you just got to sign a 12-month agreement. And I called Jackson, I was like, should I do this? He's like, yeah. I'm like, all right, fuck it. And then we just like signed the thing for June 1st. So that was like our soft launch date.
I don't think you're allowed to say F it.
No, we can. It's
you can.
Yeah, these are.
You can't say F it, but you can say fuck it.
Yeah,
oh,
that's right.
Fuck.
Motherfuck. Then we moved in, and then literally you have to just make it up. We didn't know what the fuck we were doing. We had no idea. And we'd like, I went to like, I was reading like these like, you know, sales guides and shit. Like, I don't fucking know.
I have a book called Act Like a Boss, I think.
Yeah, some shit like that. Like, so funny. There's this, I can't remember the anachronism thing is, whatever. But this is like sales guide. It's like, you know, you do this, you find
spin
this,
selling.
You do spin selling. Yeah, yeah. But we'd like call and be like, hello, this is Sam. I have a street team. Like, can I talk to you? I'm like, do, 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 do. And they just hang up on you, right? And it's like really depressing.
I remember we worked really hard for this one client. Sam was just on the phones all the time. They were going back and forth. Mm-hmm. And after we finally kind of like locked it down for just a try, we were going to do a free weekend for them. And we were so excited.
Yeah.
He literally gets off the phone, comes into the office where I was, and just collapses on the floor.
Like, it was like heady stuff, right? And then
yeah.
And you don't know what you're doing.
And we weren't working. We were on the seed program. We were every day in our freaking basement just, like, typing away, you know, trying to do stuff, whatever we could.
It's crazy, man. And it's crazy to think about it now. But also, we didn't know. How much do you charge? Like,
yeah.
How much do you charge? I don't know. So
you literally had
no idea
what you were doing.
No idea.
But you had worked for a similar
right.
situation.
Right.
Wow.
Weird.
I'm like beyond Ugh. Inspired by you guys.
It's crazy, right?
because you have to believe
Seriously.
In each other to be business partners, first of all.
Yes.
And then you have to believe in the idea
yeah.
enough
yeah.
to be like, I just quit my life to
Absolutely.
Start this new thing that's going to be really hard.
And
I'm
going
to have to put myself and my reputation on the line
yeah.
and like work my ass off.
Beyond that, like so also we raised money from friends and family to start the business. Also, I lost so many friendships over this. Oh my God. So many.
Mm.
Like dozens of friends. Like probably, well, not many dozens. Maybe like.
He didn't have that many friends.
No, I didn't.
Right, so they're all.
But maybe like a lot of friendships. I lost a lot of people I thought were my very, very good friends.
For weird reasons.
Don't talk to me anymore. Just like, don't talk to me.
I'm
see
confused
them.
By that.
They'd be
one.
Sitting,
really?
I know that. They'd be sitting right there and then they wouldn't even talk to me.
Part of it's jealousy, part of it is because he went on and did his own thing that they felt kind of betrayed.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's people are complicated. And also, I want to say,
yeah.
for the record, I don't hold anything against them. If we want to, like, strike up a friendship again, I'm more than happy to do that. But also, I mean, it comes down to, like, it's like, as well, for me, you know, it's like, I got to put that private life of mine on hold for a bit. Because this is the most important
mm-hmm.
thing.
Yeah.
And I'll say this. I think by far the hardest thing and the most challenging thing has been working with a partner.
Mm.
Because it's to navigate, it's like a marriage.
Mm.
You know, to navigate the ups and downs, to be really pissed off at someone.
Mm.
But be political, be nice,
mm.
you know, be courteous, and then realize why you're pissed off. Constantly analyzing, like, why exactly am I mad? I don't really
yeah,
know.
Yeah, like, what did that trigger
mm-hmm.
in me?
Mm-hmm.
And I have to, like, figure that shit out, because it's not about that person.
We have extremely serious conversations
oh,
all,
God,
the time,
all the time.
But what's been wonderful is that it's always respectful. And we're always willing to talk, because we both prioritize the business.
Mm.
And I knew when I met Sam, I was like, we really clicked. This is a guy that I can click with. And he was one of the first people I've met where I was like, I could start a business with this person. And I'm so happy I did, because I say it's one of the hardest things to deal with a partner, and it absolutely is.
Plus you live together.
Plus
yeah.
we live together. But
yeah, it's crazy.
He actually just moved upstairs, so now we're not sharing the same space all the time. Which is
all
great.
The time.
But,
but literally my bedroom's above his. So
yeah. He clomps around. He's a little guy, but he really steps really
Dense.
Heavily.
You
Dense.
Have a heavy downstep.
That's right.
The point of what I wanted to say is I couldn't have done it without him. He couldn't
yeah.
have done it without me.
Yeah.
We couldn't have done it without each other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's been fantastic. I've learned things about myself. I've learned things too much about Sam, really. But
the same could be said for this podcast.
No,
yeah,
seriously.
Yeah.
It's like,
exactly, yeah.
It's not a business, but it's a venture.
Mm, yeah.
It's a venture.
It's a venture, and you know, it's fun.
But
ours is fun. There's no stakes whatsoever.
Well, that's
no.
not true. I mean, that's not true. You have to organize this. You have to find time. You're going to find people. You guys have had big people on your podcast.
There's no consequences if we don't.
I that's true. I mean, I guess to a certain extent. I mean, that I think that's the thing for us. You know, it's like you gotta. I mean, both Jax and I have issues with commitment, but you know, you have to trust someone so much, and you can't do everything yourself. Jackson is correct. Like, this company would not be the same if it weren't for the two of our, you know, juices mixing, for want of a better word.
Scandalous.
But it's really fucking hard. I don't think we give ourselves enough credit about, like,
it's really hard, but it's also extremely rewarding.
Yeah.
Because I'm excited to come to work every day.
Yeah.
I'm excited
yeah.
to see what new challenges I have to face. I'm excited
mm-hmm.
to put proposals together to make money.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited to work with Sam and
mm-hmm.
figure out new ways. I'm excited to see our employees.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
it's all positive. You love theater.
Mm-hmm.
Your job is telling people about the theater you
mm-hmm.
love.
Mm-hmm.
So, like,
yeah.
what's bad about that?
Well,
besides being a business.
But also, there's the flip side of that, right? And then there's, like, maybe we're seeing a show that we don't like. Maybe we're promoting a show that we don't personally like. So how do you navigate that?
But you like the people who are doing their thing.
Correct.
There are things that you love about...
Correct. And that's the key.
Yeah.
You find Absolutely. Something... Because nothing is irredeemable, ever.
Right.
And so you find something you love about it. So maybe it's about, like... fostering this writer. Maybe it's about the actors are doing such a fantastic job. Maybe the music's great. Maybe it's the mission behind the show. Maybe it's the elevating of XYZ 123. Maybe it's something as simple as I just really like getting a beer with this marketing manager. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's kind of the key to sales. You find something you like about the show and you hit it hard. Yeah. And then you find something that the customer likes about it.
Yeah.
You know?
You're supporting people who are creating something.
Always. And no one is, I mean, I don't think, I hope, I mean, probably, but maybe I'm being naive, but I don't think that, like, cynicism maybe that can creep into other popular entertainment forms has permeated theatre as deep as maybe it does in other, maybe in films and TV. I know it exists, but I think everyone, because this industry does not pay well. Like, it is consistently...
Yeah.
At least 25% below the rest of the market. So the reason we're sitting here doing this is because we're connected to the theatre industry. Because I know for damn sure we could make more money representing Coca-Cola or whatever it is. But we love the idea of theatre.
Yeah.
So,
And yeah. Then it needs our services.
Right.
There's a lot of theatre out there that really needs us.
Mm.
It's a noble profession.
That's really, yeah. We're really like heroes, guys.
Yeah,
like,
you are. I mean,
you're like saving the American.
I think, yeah, basically.
They had to clip off their
one
capes.
One cup at a time.
Not all heroes wear capes.
Oh, sometimes they wear Broadway crew shirts. There you go. And
end episode.
Scene. We have these busts of ourselves with the Obama colors in the background. It's like, just me and Jackson.
Crew.
I didn't want to step on that and ruin it. Loved.
But you know, I think really, you know, what we do is so cool. It's just it can be really difficult. It's going really well right now.
Yeah.
But
I'm excited for the future.
And
your first year has been so challenging and like life changing and rewarding. Like you have great clients.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, we're about to start work for, and we can say this, we're about to start work for Cirque du Soleil. Like, are you kidding me? Like, one of the biggest brands. Like,
come on.
Yeah, I know.
International. International.
King Kong. I think King Kong is the biggest.
That's also
Broadway show ever to come. Like, the most expensive. Like, $35 million.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Excuse the fact me? That they are getting a special Tony Award for
amazing.
The... What is it? The theatrical...
Puppetry.
Technology.
Yeah.
The
thank God.
Animatronics. Well, it really, it's puppetry.
It's
not animatronics.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
there.
Right.
I think there are 14 puppeteers that control and manipulate Kong. He's 2 tons. I think he's like 21 feet tall.
If you listen to Nick Rashad Burrows' episode, he speaks to that a little bit.
Yeah.
And how the voice is actually in the back
yeah,
of the house.
Yeah, dumb live.
They're watching, yeah.
And they manipulate the face to look as human as possible. And each sound is coordinated with the facial expressions. It's really
totally
fantastic.
And segue, we have 2 free tickets to give away if you play in our competition later on.
Which
coming to a social media near you.
Wow.
Or at Broadway Crew.
Yeah. Or
at
in the
Broadway
room
Crew.
But yeah.
Yeah, and what's really cool is, you know, when you're kind of your own boss and you're kind of doing your own thing,
hey.
We come up with ideas, and then we can actually execute them.
But then on the flip side of that, if they don't work, we have to live and die on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, we live and die on, like, oh, this is a great idea. Bow, bow. You know, and then you're like, well, how do I explain to the client that idea fucking sucked,
mm-hmm.
and it was my idea?
Thank God no one's... attention span is that great anymore.
No.
You know, we're all just like, what happened yesterday? No idea.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's
remember
it's,
that idea Sam had? Nope.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's just a fascinating, it's like a different, it's just a business is, and B2B, I think in particular, as I keep saying, is like, it's very different because we're a B2B and B2C customer, like business, customer, business.
Are there bees in here?
Buffalo, 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 buffalo.
He learned all of this in spin selling.
I did. No, no, but it's so different, you know, the techniques you use are different, the words you're talking about, like the KPIs, like the key performance indicators, what do they actually value? And like, when I'm trying to say like we start the company and we think this is valuable and we're like, we're doing all this, it's so valuable, but no one's buying it. And they want this, and we're like, we don't think that's that valuable, but that's all they want. We're like, why are we stuck in the mud on this when all he wants to buy is this? Mm-hmm. Let's just do that. And then we do that, and they're stoked. Yeah. And then we find out new ways that we can serve our existing clients, and the whole cycle just keeps, like, you know, continuing. And then what's even weirder is, so I run the finances for a business, right? That shit... It is nothing like running your personal finance. It's the opposite of running your personal finances. It is crazy. It's weird. I'm still not quite across it. I pay payroll. I make sure people are paid.
Taxes are really expensive.
Taxes are expensive. I'm becoming more conservative just because I'm like, I don't want to pay that tax. You know what I mean? But you look at the other side of things, and I guess it broadens your view of the reason why you're getting paid X or Y or Z or how much you need to charge for, like, why, like, oh my God, this is ridiculous. This beer cost me $8. But if you think about, like, where that business is located, what the rent they're being charged, how much they're probably going to have to pay their staff, eventually you're like, oh, $8 for a beer is not so bad.
This beer is from Windsor Castle.
Yeah.
Windsor beer.
It's cool.
Look, I loved being an actor. I did, you know, some really fun stuff. But with this, I get to be creative every day, and I get to problem solve every day, and work really hard. And that's one thing as an actor I felt like I wasn't doing. If I didn't have a job, I didn't know how to work. Mm-hmm. And now I do. So yeah. It's been great.
Yeah.
And you don't have to audition for it.
Exactly.
Only every day.
Every single fucking day, yeah. Damn, man. But now...
It takes a different shape.
Yeah. Now we're getting better at doing, like, you know, phone calls and stuff, like, people respond, I mean, I don't want to sound like arrogant because we're not, but at least people will, like, entertain our ideas these days. Like,
we're part of the conversation.
Yeah, typically if we send an email, they'll give us, like, a no now. rather than not responding.
Regretfully declined.
Yeah, progress of a kind.
You're cute, but no.
Yeah. Oh, no.
So sorry.
It's baby steps.
Keep at it.
It's baby steps.
Chin up.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope it gets easier because the first year is now behind you, and I imagine that's the.
Yeah, I mean,
you either have to, you don't want to maintain. Well, you can maintain, but you want to keep growing, and so that you can't really stop. You gotta keep it. You gotta keep it moving.
Like, and that's what I was talking about. Like, to call back to, like, any kind of, you know, business financial kind of realm. Is like, you always have to keep doubling down. Like, you gotta keep reinvesting. Like, it's not like, you know, pretend in a world that, like, Jax and I somehow...
In a world.
Make like, an extra, like, $100,000 somehow.
Where Jackson and Sam make $100,000.
Yeah, which is not anywhere on our horizon.
Which is not on their horizon.
Okay, shut the fuck up. We would take that money...
May 2020.
Yeah, that's right. No, but we would instantly take that money and reinvest it straight in the company. Like, it's not like we're going to be like, oh, we're going to go...
Well, when you get a client, right, and you have to staff up for that client or do other things for that client to serve that client. The client goes away, then you have the staff, but then another client comes and you need to get more stuff for that. So it's constantly growing and expanding and to meet that, and then a reduction when you don't have the proper clients and stuff. But there's constantly new, it's almost like keeping up with the Joneses a little bit, because you get to a certain place and you need more stuff. You get to another certain place and you need more stuff. You need more staff. You need more people in place. You need more structures. So we've just really spent a lot of time focusing on our internal structure. Who does what? Defining our roles, defining our responsibilities, really figuring out like the clarity so that we can divide up the work responsibly so that we can expand so that when something doesn't go right, we know, oh, that was Sam's job or that was Jackson's job. Or when something does go right, be like, yeah, man. I'm putting a thumbs up right now.
And that's another throwback, I think, to Drew's episode. Where people are like, I didn't even know company managers existed.
Mm-hmm.
Like that business side of Broadway that we're now interacting with is we're like, oh, I get why you need a fucking company manager.
Mm-hmm.
Someone has to be the liaison between, the show and the business behind it, and like how do you fucking make
someone has
business?
To write the checks.
Yeah, it's
good. And it's not the producers.
No.
Mm-mm. After a while, I mean, initially it was.
Hi ho, hi ho.
There are 7 very well-known dwarves in history.
Mm-hmm.
If you were the 8th and 9th dwarves, what would your names be?
Oh!
I've got mine.
What's yours?
Tyrion.
Oh, Game of Thrones nerd. That's a cop-out.
The only thing I know about Game of Thrones is that there was a coffee cup.
Oh, I saw that. That has gone viral.
Yeah, there shouldn't be a coffee cup.
Oh, no. On a set?
Yeah.
What?
You don't see that?
I didn't.
Yeah. I'm going to Google that.
Have I already, like, spoiler?
No. Yeah, yeah. It's the Starbucks coffee is integral to the episode.
It's not Starbucks.
Whoa.
It's a different coffee.
Whoa.
The only thing is, like, the title of the show.
A leak from Tuesday, is that still going to be a spoiler?
I think it, like, everyone in the world knows it exists, I think. It's, like, the blue or the gold or whatever.
Duncan is going to be the next king
of
land.
Duncan Donuts.
What if
Wait, is it in the next episode? I need to know this. Is it in the next episode or is it the one that just
happened?
It was
the one that just happened.
Have you not been on the social meds today?
I'm the social media manager. I don't
isn't going there.
Go on it.
If I was going to be a dwarf, I think I would be, like...
Is this really hypothetical?
Yeah, I think I'd be like Peppy.
You know what I mean?
I knew you were gonna say that.
Yeah.
I reckon.
Peppy Dwarf.
Peppy Dwarf. Criterion Collection.
Yeah, that's right. Criterion.
Can I change mine to the emotional roller coaster dwarf?
Yeah, he would be like the
Moody Dwarf.
Yeah. Roller coaster tycoon dwarf.
He'd be Moody.
Moody
yeah.
Dwarf. I love that. Moody
hey, what are you
needs
trying
a Peppy
to say?
And Peppy needs a Moody.
That's nice. There
you
go. Yin and yang.
I'm literally Googling Game of Thrones coffee cup right now.
Okay, we can do it after.
Oh,
put it away.
It won't take you long.
Oh my god!
Yeah. Yeah, script girl was snoozing on that one.
Daenerys was having...
It was a Starbucks
latte.
It wasn't Starbucks.
It's not Starbucks.
That's so funny. And you know Starbucks is going to come up with Game of Thrones coffee now.
Yeah.
My next question for you both. What were your first impressions of each of us?
Of you two?
You two?
Or us.
Both of them with the pinky. Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
If you want to be a successful startup company, do bull horns.
Do bull
and
horns
then
when
point
you're pointing
at
two people.
Or if you're me, you can lick and growl.
Hey, that's.
I'm gonna.
It was nice.
Oh, hey.
Oh, wow. Are we allowed to say what she just did?
Little nip finger.
It's good.
I was trying to think of
her.
Two. Like,
why do you have to blow on your finger?
No, I'm bad at improv. Thank you.
Offer, accept, develop. Okay.
Yes, and.
Like our impressions of you guys or each other?
Our first impression. Your first impressions of us.
God, I met you guys.
The podcast is about us.
I met you guys 6 trillion years ago. Oh yeah, FYI, like viewers or listeners. I don't know when the hell I met you guys, but probably like 5 or 6 years ago.
No, I've only known him for 3.
When did I meet you?
The viewing party for
no
Hotel
shit.
Impossible.
Yes.
And that was early stages of our friendship, and it was
wow.
The first time he had been to Drew and Brian's house.
It was the first time meeting, like, the other people that weren't Dana.
Yeah.
All at once. It was very
but
drunk.
But I had met you, Sam, years before that. We had been to, you know, Dallas barbecue birthday parties.
Mm. Oh,
but
yes.
We had never really, like,
connected
at all.
No.
We sat at opposite ends.
We really
of the
only
table.
Connected at that bar, like, not so long ago.
Rise,
ago.
Yeah. And you had started the company,
yeah,
Broadway
right.
Crew.
And we were talking about the podcast in the room
with Stephen
and we do both do, like, Broadway
Stephen
adjacent
mm-hmm.
things. And we were like, let's do this
let's
partnership. I don't
tickets.
Ever, you guys, I'm so bad at networking and, like, talking to people
no.
and, like, doing that thing. And you were, like,
no,
the first
not.
One. Yes, I... Oh, yes, I am. And Sam was the first one. I was like,
I'm
what
gonna,
if I say, like, we
let's
should partner
do this.
Up?
Yes.
Question mark?
Yeah.
And then someone, Sam, said yes. And then we exchanged some emails. And now you guys have free
and
tickets.
Some, and some rosé.
And some
rosé. Yeah.
No shout out.
No, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Babe
we love that. You know, that was our, when you dropped that off randomly.
Yeah.
That was like our actual 1 year since we'd signed the incorporation.
So we got drunk that night. Yikes.
I chopped the bottle of a champagne, top of the champagne bottle.
Did you try it in the video?
Yeah, I sabered it.
We can send you the video.
And then we got in trouble from WeWork. I go up to WeWork and they were like, the next day, and they're like, so we got reports that you cut the top of a bottle of a champagne off and then didn't clean it up.
Yeah. Well, that's...
We also...
Bad move. We were pretty hammered.
But both of our partnerships, we did a little crossover.
Yeah, and we're kind of
off record.
We're both in incubational kind of. Yeah. Well, we are. You guys have been around longer than us, right? How long is it?
Our podcast?
Yeah.
2 years.
Yeah.
2 years in June.
That's impressive.
I think this is episode 48.
June 20th.
Wow.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Well, that's neat.
So, okay, let's get back to the impressions. I reckon it would be that you were a little bit intimidating, maybe.
He's looking at me, you guys.
A little bit intimidating, maybe.
Why?
I don't know.
Mostly because you put your beer on your cell phone.
Yeah.
It's a coaster, and this is
IDAGF.
It's an expensive coaster.
Don't give a fuck. I don't know. Just a little bit.
No, I can be a
large personality, maybe. I don't know. I don't think you are, but
cunty's not the right word.
I'm throwing my. I'm TBTing myself.
No, I actually like this actual conversation.
Yeah.
Because it's.
I think because you're quite quick. Yeah. No. Very friendly. And then Stephen, just like cute, well dressed, you know what I mean? Nice guy. You know, the yin to the yang. Does that make sense? Easy to
cute
talk to.
Nice. You said
I'm the cute one.
Easy to talk
cute
to.
Cute and nice.
You know? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I don't mean
we're
that,
a black and white cookie.
But
for
I don't
real.
Mean that in like I don't mean either of those things in a negative way.
I thought you guys were a white and white cookie.
I
dark features.
I get that as well. I get people think I'm intimidating sometimes too, but I think it's because I just when there's like a empty space, I try to like fill it with my voice, and then I'll take control.
Do you have like a nervous energy?
Not a nervous do I? I don't know.
No, not a nervous energy. No, no. You
just energy.
You command a presence. You have a commanding presence.
Oh gosh.
He reminds me of Kurt Hansen so much.
Is that one of the Hansons?
He is a Hanson.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing about being friends with an Australian is if you go to a bar and you start talking to a girl and it's like things are going really well and then your Australian friend comes over and says, "Oi, I'm Sam," then immediately you don't exist.
You're done. Yeah.
There's no
straight.
Both straight.
Oh God, I don't know any straight people. That's what I was going to say before. I was like racking my brain to think of like a straight man that I know in my life. It's my brother.
Well, I mean, when we
kind of
when
and us
when we're intimate
then
with
guys,
each other,
club, bro.
And you guys
when we're intimate with each other, that's still we're still straight.
Yeah.
We just
right. No, it's just
it's a business thing.
That's like prison. Like that's survival.
Yeah, it gets real cold in our apartment.
That's Brooklyn winters. Yeah, it's coming.
It's no joke.
That's Bette Midler and Barbara Hershey in Beaches.
What about
send
okay?
Here.
Okay, let's turn that around.
Anything you guys want to plug as we come to a close?
All right. First, I would like to say, if you want to find out more about us, go to our Facebook page. It's, you know, Broadway Crew on Facebook. Check us out on Instagram, at Broadway Crew. Twitter, B-Way Crew. Or you can come see us in Times Square. We're literally there every single day that the TKTS booth is open. You'll see up to 5 of us out there.
Are they all black t-shirts with the Broadway Crew and white
letters? Unless it's raining and cold, and then you'll never know who they are. But
tell them Stephen and Dana sent you.
Yeah, exactly. And
you might get a sticker.
Yeah, we just got stickers.
You hear that? Stickers!
Free stickers! But on top of that, if you want to reach out, please reach out. Sam at Broadway Crew, Jackson at Broadway Crew, Info at Broadway Crew, Join at Broadway Crew.
www.broadwaycrew.com.
Yeah, just get in touch. We love to collaborate.
We love to collaborate. We love to work on your show. If you are a producer, if you are making theater happen in New York, if you're doing live events and you're looking for some way to get the word out, let us know because we will fit into the budget that you have.
Yeah. Exact. Amanda.
Do you do smaller venues? This is... do you do smaller venues?
Yeah.
Like
the duplex?
Yeah, we could do that. Yeah.
Thank you so much. You guys
thank
are
you
an
again.
Inspiration, and we love what you do, and it's been an honor to talk to you. He's flipping me off.
Real treat.
Thank you guys so much. We love having you here. Come back for shitty cream cheese bagels.
You know what?
Beer
hey, I got two beers out of this.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Bye.
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 In the Room with Stephen and Dana is produced by Stephen Farazee
and Dana Craig. Special thanks to Joel Wagoner for tinkling the ivories on our theme song. Hit him up at joelwagoner.com.
We apologize, and you're welcome. We'd also like to thank Jesse Wiener, W-I-E-N-E-R, for our jazzy original music sprinkled throughout each episode.
You can find him at jessewiener.com.
Last but certainly not least, we'd like to thank Kevin Thomas Garcia for taking all of our ridiculous photos. You can find him online at ktgnyc.com. We are all over the internet on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at In The Room Pod.
Follow us, like us, share us, pimp us out.
And don't forget to subscribe to In The Room Podcast. We everywhere, so subscribe. And thank you so much for listening.
Thank you so much.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.